In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, things are not as they seem. We have limited understanding about the things that happen in our life. Very limited. We often have great confidence in our ability to discern things. But the truth is, we know very little. Even if you look into the world of science, or mathematics, or economics, even a secular discipline, we know very little. We're always discovering new things and finding that our previous opinions were not correct. So it is with our life. Many things happen in our life that are hard to understand. And many times we interpret them in the wrong way. Now, all is not lost. Even if we interpret things in the wrong way, as long as we live with faith, always looking for the guiding hand of God in our life, we will find our way. The wise man sees the hand of God in everything, all events of his life, whether they're good, bad, joyful, sad, in victory, in defeat, when he's being humbled, when he's being exalted. All things are according to the providence of God. And we believe this, but living it is something that only the greatest of the saints did. Only those with great faith, great wisdom, great humility. This gospel teaches us that things are not as they seem, and that the way to live is with faith in God. To do what He does, whether we understand it or not, whether we're afraid or not, whether it makes sense to us or not. God's will is fulfilled in our life through our understanding, in spite of our understanding, in the midst of our emotions, when we're weak, when we're strong, whether we're afraid or courageous, none of our emotions matter. They just make something either more pleasant or less pleasant. But emotions are not that which guides us to God, following His holy will in our heart. Because we are living a godly life, and therefore, to the pure all things are pure, and blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The person with good morality will see the hand of God in everything that God does in his life, even though it seems inexplicable to us and perhaps to others. As long as we live with faith and the child of faith, obedience, then we will find our way, even though it might not appear that we know where we're going at the time. This gospel is full of things like this. Do you think it made sense to Joseph what he was told to do? He was told, he saw all these miracles that occurred at the birth of Christ. He'd already heard of the incarnation and gone through all the trials and travails trying to figure out what to do, and then being told by an angel to name the child Jesus. They see the angelic host praising God, the shepherds coming. By this time, the Magi had come and departed. Something miraculous, unexplainable, incredibly holy had happened. And then he's being told, run away. Run away when God has been born? God could handle this problem. The fathers tell us that the reason that they ran away was to show us to give place to wrath. We don't always fight evil with force. In fact, actually, evil is weak against weakness. You fight evil with force, you get more force. You fight evil with weakness and with faith in God, and evil crumbles. We've seen it even in this in our lifetimes, in political systems. Now, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph in a dream and says, take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, because Herod is after him. Herod was a usurper to the throne, a client king. He was not of the throne of David. The scepter had failed. That's why Christ was born, because he was the first king that was not of the line of David. And so, Herod being a tyrant and sitting on an unstable throne, since after all he bought it, if you buy it, somebody with more money can buy it from you and take it from you. He was going to have the Christ child killed if he could find him. So the angel tells Joseph, take the young child and his mother. Notice the terminology. It's important to understand the scriptures. Joseph is not the father of the child. Now, I don't think I would usually address someone if I say, you know, come to my house and bring the young child. I'd say, bring your son. Right? And bring his mother. Well, I suppose I would say that if they were divorced, huh? But not a man and wife. I would say, bring your wife. But the angel was very explicit. The young child and his mother. Because Joseph was betrothed to the Theotokos, never wedded her. And the young child is the mother of the Theotokos. Or excuse me, is the child of the Theotokos. Joseph had no part in being the father of the child. He was the foster father. So they flee into Egypt, running away. That wouldn't make any sense to me. And it wouldn't make any sense to you. And Joseph just did it. Joseph was very important because he protected the Theotokos. A young woman having a child, there's no way that she'd be able to protect herself, to travel, to be able to find work. Joseph was very necessary. His obedience was as necessary as the Theotokos' obedience. He was part of the plan, and he probably didn't understand a lot of it as it was unfolding. And so, they go and take the young child and mother by night and go to Egypt. And Matthew is explicit in saying, later when he comes back, he says, this is to fulfill the prophecy, out of Egypt that I called my son, from Hosea. So Herod, during the time that they're in Egypt, has many, many children killed, the holy innocents. He inquired of the wise men, and the wise men probably saw the star probably 9 months or more before Christ was born. Some of the fathers think 9 months. They traveled during the gestation period, or a little bit longer. The Magi did not see Christ on the day of his birth. They saw him later. We know this because our Lord was born in one of the caves outside of Bethlehem. But when the Magi inquired of Herod and later found out that he was supposed to be in, Herod didn't know where he was, the star then reappeared and brought them to the house, right? Well, he wasn't born in a house. Okay? No matter what all the creche scenes say, he was born in a cave. So, when he had many, many of them killed within this range of time, actually it's quite an extravagant range of time. It was probably about a year, he figured, so he doubled it. So many innocent lives. Rachel weeping for her children, according to the prophet Jeremiah. That fulfillment of their prophecy happened then. Rachel was buried in that area. So it's sort of metaphorical. And then the angel comes to Joseph again and says, Herod's dead, you can go back to Israel. So he goes back to Israel. But Joseph is flesh and blood like you and I. He's not getting the whole story either. He doesn't really understand. And he goes back in Judea and he finds out Archelaus is reigning. Archelaus was the worst of the sons of Herod. One of the few to survive, actually. And he was a scary guy. Even if God is telling you to go somewhere, you might be scared. You might not understand. It doesn't matter. Joseph, a holy and righteous man, was afraid. But notwithstanding, there was a dream, and he was told to turn his parts into the parts of around Nazareth. And Matthew says this fulfills what the prophets say, that he shall be called a Nazarene. Now, if you know your Bible, there is no prophecy that says Jesus was a Nazarene, would be called a Nazarene. It doesn't exist. But the prophets spoke of Nazareth as being a place of ill repute, a place where no good thing comes out of. That's why Nathanael said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" when he was told by Philip that he had seen the Christ later on. So he was called a Nazarene, basically. He's just, you know, from the slums. He's just from a bad neighborhood. Some also think that it has some other meanings, that Nazareth, the root word of Nazareth has to do with shoot, like the rod of Jesse. And other fathers think that it's possible that there's a prophecy that's lost. But I think it's very likely that Matthew was really speaking of the general sense of the prophets, that Nazareth was a place that no good thing could come out of. So our Lord, on the day of his birth, great things occurred. Almost nobody saw them. Only a few shepherds, Joseph and Mary. And then he flees to Egypt, and then he goes to a place, a backwards town, that nobody thinks anything of. And he grows up. Things are not as they seem. The God-man grew up in Nazareth. And then he started to fulfill his mission to teach us, to show us, to enable us to find salvation. But at the time these things happened, it wasn't entirely clear. You can also see throughout the gospel that the disciples many times really did not understand what was going on. But they stayed with him. Oh, they made mistakes, sometimes quite foolish mistakes, quite sinful mistakes. But they stayed with him because of faith. That's what we have to do. That's what this story teaches us. It's really very simple. Now, I'll tell you that sometimes this gospel, I think of it, or other gospels like it, that are basically sort of the sense of just follow God's will wherever it leads you. It's always going to be the right place. I think of this gospel when I get discouraged in my ministry. And because of my sins, I get discouraged more often than I should, which is, I should never get discouraged. But things are not as they seem. Things in your life are not as they seem. They're not as bad, nor are they as good. That person that you think has got it made, they don't. That person that you think is a terrible sinner, they aren't as terrible as you think. Things are not as they seem. We must just follow the hand of God through our life. And there's only one way to know. I have a good friend, and he's really suffering because he's having trouble saying, well, you know, all the religions of the world, they all say they're right, how can we know? And every time we talk, I go back to, you know, when you live a good life, and when you look inside your heart, God is there. And eventually, with God's help, he'll find that out, because he does live a good life. He's a good man. But doesn't understand. He's confused by all the things that happen in the world. There's a lot of confusing stuff that happens in the world. All that matters is that we live a good life with God helping us. If we live morally, we will understand. If you do not live morally, you'll never, ever understand. Ever. So the only way to have understanding of the confusing things in life is to live a moral life. And the Christian life is to be moral. To live according to the commandments with God helping us. That idea has been erased from the consciousness of many people about Christianity, including those who are Orthodox. They think of Christianity as something, a few things we must fulfill, a few rules to do, to go to church as little as we can get away with, to fast when it's convenient, maybe even to fast when it's inconvenient too. That's not the sum of the Christian life. The sum of the Christian life is to become holy as God is holy. And if you become holy, you'll understand holiness. So may God help you. May God help us to follow God's will in our life, whether we understand it or not. And in the end, all things will be made known, and we will know all things if we have lived with faith. Amen.